ESPN's Josina Anderson reports two anonymous New York Giants players say Coach Bob McAdoo has lost the team. Those players say, quote, guys are giving up on the season and nothing's being done. Guys just don't care anymore, end quote. The Giants are 1-7, and those players first spoke before their 51-17 loss to the Rams. ESPN's Arash Markazi reports the three UCLA basketball players accused of shoplifting in Hangzhou, China, are now out on bail. LiAngelo Ball, Cody Riley, and Jalen Hill allegedly stole sunglasses from a Louis Vuitton store. They will not play in the Bruins season opener against Georgia Tech on Friday night. LiAngelo Ball's brother, Lonzo, and the Lakers are in Boston tonight to play the Celtics. That game tips off an ESPN doubleheader at 8 Eastern. The Celtics have won 9 in a row, and that game will be followed by the Timberwolves and the Warriors.
College football on ESPN Radio. The North Carolina Tar Heels travel to Pittsburgh to face the Pitt Panthers. Coverage begins tomorrow at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Who's In? Presented by the 2018 Ford F-150.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now, just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Napa Know-How.
Making your budget last longer than it should is an accomplishment. But making motor oil last longer than it should? Dangerous. Lucky for you, Pennzoil Full Synthetic is only $4.99 a quart. Its long-lasting formula and low price can help your engine and your wallet go farther. Pennzoil Full Synthetic for $4.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
General States Pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 12/31/17.
Tony Stewart has a new driver.
Obviously, anytime we bring a new driver or a new sponsor to SHR, we're excited about, but this has a personal attachment that even makes it stronger.
I'm Woody Kane. The story next on NASCAR Today.
Introducing the Wrangler Performance Series, a collection of jeans and pants featuring the new Comfort Flex waistband and four-way flex technology that moves with you. It's the flexibility you need to get more out of every day and tap into your unrealized potential. See where more range of motion takes you. Wrangler Performance Series. Less restriction, more living.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Another of the worst-kept secrets in the NASCAR garage was confirmed today when Stuart Haas Racing named Eric Almirola as the driver of its number 10 Fords next year, with Smithfield Foods as the sponsor. Almirola says his 14-year friendship with team co-owner Tony Stewart helped seal the deal.
It was a little tense there for a while, knowing that there was a lot of other drivers out on the market looking for the same ride that I was, you know, but I think ultimately Smithfield and Stuart Haas Racing made the decision to pick me, and I couldn't be more happy.
Also, Stewart said today he wants to drive some Xfinity Series road races starting in 2019. Details are at MRN.com. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Hour number three of the Todd Brolenkamp Show with Alex Kuhn underway on 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM if you're with us in Cedar Rapids, and 1600 AM anywhere in eastern Iowa. You can also listen online at KGYMradio.com. While you're there, don't forget to vote in today's poll question brought to you by our friends at Emil's Hideaway. Coming up on the program tomorrow, we're going to talk a little Cyclone football with Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com. Plus, the big hour moves to Thursday for 1 week only. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will join me and Alex. It's a rare supersized edition. We're going to be chatting with former Iowa wide receiver Kevin Casper on the program tomorrow as well. Right now, we're talking, as we do every week, sponsored by Imon Communications, with ESPN.com's Tristan Cockcroft answering your fantasy football questions. So get them to us right now at 366-1600. And Tristan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Still have a good number of competitive teams, which is what we like this time of year, right?
Yeah, no kidding. First question right out of the gate today from one of our texters: Kelvin Benjamin or Larry Fitzgerald this week?
Fitzgerald, and that's kind of twofold against Benjamin here. One is that I don't know exactly how extensive his role is going to be, but the other is just that the matchup is not especially good. I just don't think that wide receivers match up all that well against New Orleans. We saw that they shut down Tampa Bay, granted with Ryan Fitzpatrick for half of the game and a Jameis Winston, it wasn't 100%. But I think that New Orleans matchup is a little bit tougher than people are giving credit.
69-36 is in a PPR league and wants to know whether to start Juju Smith-Schuster or Devin Funchess.
I'd start Funchess. I feel like the target count is going to be a little better. I think he belongs in the top 20 against Miami. It's a good matchup for him and wide receivers and Cam Newton. Juju Smith-Schuster. So in his case, he actually has the weaker matchup between him and Martavis Bryant there. I do think that Smith-Schuster is the smarter play of the two of them, but because I could kind of toss a coin between them, he's going to take the backseat.
92-70, Mike Evans' owner. Of course, Evans suspended for his man, of all the weeks to be suspended against the Jets, which I think would have been a good matchup for him. Needs a running back.
I would imagine so, yep.
Needs a running back wide receiver replacement this week. He's got Thomas Rawls, Javon Kearse, or Josh Doctson.
Okay, Rawls, Kearse, or Doctson. Kearse has a very good matchup there, but I feel like it's the Robbie Anderson show. And by the way, he's available in an amazing number of ESPN leagues so far. I would jump on this Thomas Rawls proclamation that he's going to be the starter. I'm not wild about it, but I feel like there's going to be every bit as much volume for him as the other two. So if you want to go with the matchups, I understand the Kearse choice, but I'll take Rawls.
I picked up Robbie Anderson last week, last minute, right before that Thursday night game, and did a little plug and play, and it worked out very well. The Jets are actually quietly a sort of a decent fantasy option at a couple positions, including if you're in a two-quarterback league like I am. I grabbed Josh McCown off the waiver wire early on in the season, and he's paying huge dividends right now.
He most definitely is, and by the way, he actually matches up quite well. You can make the case that he belongs in the top 10. I have him ranked as such. In fact, as a matter of fact, out of our rankers, we have four of the five had him in our top 11 for the week. We think that's how good this matchup is against Tampa Bay. I'd definitely be taking a look at him, and I'll give credit here where it's due. The Jets' defense not as bad as people thought either, so be really careful about that as a matchup. It's actually tougher against the run, especially, than we've been giving credit early in the year.
All right, Tristan, we were getting a lot of panic texts and calls last week about the Green Bay Packers, and we had seen 1 week of the experiment with Brett Hundley, and you said hold on to whether it was Randall Cobb or Davante Adams or Jordy Nelson to see what they look like after the bye week. Do we have any clearer of a picture as to what will become of those three?
Unfortunately, we don't. I mean, all we got was negativity this week. It wasn't a good performance for Jordy Nelson, Davante Adams, and the deep threats there. So, I mean, I wouldn't give any credit to Brett Hundley too much as a passer here. He was not even, I would say, league average in my estimation. The problem with this is that Nelson, I mentioned, did have the Darius Slay matchup. That's a little bit tricky for him. But this week's matchup's no better. He goes up against Chicago, a defense that's been playing very well in the secondary. It's not a good matchup for opposing wide receivers, so I'd expect more disappointing numbers. I'm ranking these guys as effectively wide receiver threes. I have Nelson in that group. You could, again, toss a coin between him and Davante Adams. I would take Nelson given the choice, but I just don't like this game. I think that the week in which they'll bounce back is the Baltimore game in week 11 if it happens.
So did you just answer Wes's question on the text line? He wants to know whether to start Golden Tate or Jordy Nelson in a standard league.
And, yeah, it's Tate. I mean, I kind of did answer it, but actually I like Tate's matchup a lot this week. Against Cleveland, you can put up a lot of passing numbers. The only thing not to like about the Cleveland matchup from a passing perspective is you might not need to do it all that much. But based on the fact that the Detroit offense has been a little bit uneven, I think Tate's going to get a healthy number of targets.
Get your fantasy football questions to us now, 319-366-1600. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com joining us for his weekly chat. Our pal Krishna on the text line, Standard League, looking for an RB2 between Duke Johnson and Frank Gore this week.
They're pretty close. I would avoid the Gore matchup because in addition to the bad matchup against Pittsburgh, you've got Marlon Mack to fend with here. I think there's a great likelihood that Duke Johnson has more total touches. So I'd hope you're getting some credit for the catches. But even if you're not, I would still use him.
67-79 on the text line. Austin Seferian Jenkins or C.J. Fedorowicz at tight end this week?
Seferian Jenkins does not have as good a matchup as you might think, but it's also not a bad one, and I still think he's going to be pretty heavily utilized by McCown in this game just because the receivers aren't star quality. They're good and they're fantasy-worthy, but they're not star quality. They're not the type that's going to take 15 of those targets and Seferian Jenkins is invisible like Jason Witten last week, so I'd give him the okay. C.J. Fedorowicz is one of those stashes in deeper leagues. Monitor how he looks the first week back.
All right, Cameron is looking for three among the following players: Aaron Jones, Deion Lewis, Rishard Matthews, Doug Martin, and Joe Mixon. So you've got to sit two of those guys.
Well, Joe Mixon I had heard in there, and he's going to be a definite for me. I think that he's, while it's not one of the best matchups you could get out there, it's good enough. I'd say it grades average to above, so he would definitely get my thumbs up. I'm going to expect a bounce-back performance from Aaron Jones. I think you do need to run the ball a good amount against Chicago, so Jones would be my second. It was two we need, or was it three out of five?
Three out of five, so yeah, benching two of those guys.
The next one I'd lean towards is Rishard Matthews. This matchup is another one that's pretty decent here. I think that's going to be your predictable kind of like seasonal average number of targets for Matthews, and I think the production will be pretty good.
All right, you mentioned Rishard Matthews. 6185 is also looking for a Mike Evans replacement this week, and he's got Rishard Matthews or Emmanuel Sanders, who last week was at about 85% and had a hard time getting the ball because of the Denver quarterback situation.
Yeah, and he was limited in the practice today with the same injury, so there are the injury concerns. A New England matchup is also not as favorable as it was early in the year, specifically for wide receivers, because he'll play the perimeter, get those tough matchups against the opposing cornerbacks. I'm not wild about Sanders in this matchup, necessarily. I have him ranked better of the two. I have a hunch that when this week plays out, the practice week, he's going to drop down and be the weaker option of these.
Tristan, fresh from Marion, wants to know your outlook on the Tennessee Titans backfield between the splitting carries between DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry.
I felt like they were going to continue playing it the way that they have, where they're going to kind of run out the clock with Derrick Henry, and they would use Murray a little bit more in the first half of games. It's going to be some sort of straight platoon situation between them. But one thing I'd give a little bit of an edge to Derrick Henry on is just that older players who have an awful lot of carries on the legs tend to wear down late in the year, and Murray has shown this in the past, especially when not fully healthy. I think Henry has some really good fantasy potential. I'd say beginning in about week 12, he's got the Indianapolis matchup coming up there, and he's got a couple other great ones that I see on the schedule, including a San Francisco one in week 15 fantasy semi-final matchups. So I think Henry's going to have some real breakthrough potential.
On the subject of backfields, this is like as the world turns, but what is the latest update on what you would do with Ezekiel Elliott and the Dallas Cowboys?
I could guess just like anyone, and I could end up being wrong, and I'll say that this past week I was one of the few who didn't believe he was going to be suspended. I really thought they were going to find a way to get him out there onto the practice field, and I feel like he's probably going to have that happen again this week. I know that a final decision is going to come down at some point, and based on the amount of time that's remaining, six games would really knock out the remainder of his regular season, and at this point, we're approaching it cutting into the playoffs. I don't think that that's what Dallas is going to want, but I really still feel that Ezekiel Elliott is going to play this entire year. I think this is going to get pushed off until next year, but that's just a guess, a gut feeling.
1585 on the text line, standard scoring league, Mike Gillisley or Amir Abdullah as an RB2 this week?
I'd go with Abdullah. It's not a great option here, and that's not the matchup, that's the player. I'm just not that impressed by what I've seen from Abdullah, but I think there's more volume. When you use Mike Gillisley, you're hoping for a goal line carry, and he seems to be out of the mix right now. I would be fading Gillisley across the board right now until he proves something.
Tristan, what is your outlook on Jared Goff the rest of this season?
I actually think he's going to follow the same pattern. He looks very good to me. This is a solid year of development that could create a stepladder pattern for next year where he has the full breakthrough and becomes a solid weekly option in your lineup. And by the way, quarterback, the position is disappointed this year. He could get an advantage, a nice bump from that because a lot of these guys are aging. But for this year, I think he's going to continue to play straight to the matchups. He's been exceptional against the weak defenses, and he's been a little bit sketchier against the tough ones. As long as you make sure you keep tabs on the schedule, I think you're going to be pretty happy. And I last I looked at it, he does have some pretty good ones. And New Orleans is coming up, avoid it. Minnesota, avoid it. But this week it's Houston. That's another plus matchup. Get him in your lineups.
ESPN fantasy football expert Tristan Cockcroft joining us. Get us your questions, 366-1600. Any worry about Leonard Fournette missing another game this week?
Not really, but I might have said that a week ago. That was one of the more unexpected developments. I'll say that I'm probably the personal curse on Leonard Fournette because I traded for him the week before he had that injury and missed week seven. So an injury, a bye, and then he gets scratched for breaking a team rule. I don't think that he's going to miss any more time at this point. It's a great matchup here against the Chargers. That's going to favor him quite nicely, and I think they're still going to use him as a workhorse. I don't see any reason to doubt him.
Should there be any caution used for Kelvin Benjamin owners going into his first week of activity with the Buffalo Bills? Was set out last week.
Yeah, I think so. It's not, you know, as I'd mentioned about the Saints, they're playing a lot better against opposing passing games than you would expect. I know there was the one game against Chicago where they barely threw the ball, but I do think that you credit the defense a little bit for trying to contain an opponent's passing game, so that also goes into the mix here. The past 3 weeks, exceptional against the pass. So that's going against Benjamin. The other thing, too, is just they have three different wide receivers they can use, Zay Jones, Jordan Matthews. I wonder how quickly they're going to get Benjamin in the mix. For me, if I'm using him, it's that I'm hoping he gets a red zone target, carries it in for a touchdown. But that's a coin flip. It's like the Mike Gillisley thing.
Okay, we got to see them last week post-Jay Ajayi trade. Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake, further thoughts on the Miami backfield and which guy would probably be the better own at this point?
I'm still feeling like it's Drake. He had a couple of runs there that did look pretty good. He doesn't strike me as the kind of guy who could handle the hefty workloads getting up there near 20 a game. So I do think there's going to be a little bit of a division between the two, and that means that if you're in the PPRs, I'd lean a little bit more towards Damian Williams. But Drake actually did better than I thought he would as a receiver, a very promising sign. It's the reason I'd give him the edge here, is he has two ways that he can contribute to you. And last I checked, I think he had actually a pretty decent schedule coming forward. Of course, I'm losing it. Here it is. Yeah, he's got I'd say he has probably a middling schedule at this point. Denver's the real tough one in Week 13.
0600 wants to know, in a PPR league, who to start between Bilal Powell and Duke Johnson.
It would be Duke Johnson for me, especially in a PPR. I do think he's going to get a good number of targets here. I do think Cleveland's going to have to throw, and they'd like to go with some of those short ones. So I do think that it's pretty handily Duke Johnson.
Any advice for Kareem Hunt owners this week since the Chiefs are on a bye? Just cross your fingers and pray.
You know, I've won weeks with guys I've scraped off the waiver wire, so anything can happen. I actually am a big proponent of stacking your buys, so I'm not bothered by this. Hunt, because you mentioned him, I'll point out, he has cooled a little bit, not that terribly worried about it, so don't panic by any means in that case. The guy that I'm throwing out there who I know, actually I'll throw two of them, who I know are out there in a good number of leagues. I do think we'll see a little bit more of Devontae Booker. Not that I like the guy. I kind of question his talent, but he is going to get opportunity. I think that slipped into a timeshare, and they want to see what they have in him in this game. The other is Rex Burkhead on the other side of the field against Denver. I feel like New England's not going to be able to run the ball with a lot of effectiveness, so they're going to need to toss some of those short passes to Burkhead and make him get some yards after the catch.
We don't have a ton of daily fantasy players here in Iowa because it's illegal in the state, but if you were looking for some low-cost daily guys this week, who are some of your favorite streaming options?
So one who struck me, actually, since I had just written these up the other day, Orleans Darkwa of the Giants is priced very nicely. I believe it was somewhere in the range of $5,000. And it's a great matchup. If you look at the recent trends against the San Francisco defense, it's been an awful lot of volume, and he's been getting increasing volume with the Giants, and he's put up a very nice yards per carry with that. When you put the two of these together, I mean, we saw what Adrian Peterson did last week, I think you've got an awful lot of bang for the buck from him. Who was the wide receiver I was thinking who had a very low price? Let me see if I can kind of scrape that up. Robbie Anderson was one of the ones. I like the price for him. Sterling Shepard in the same game with the Giants was one who I found at a pretty darn good price of the two. And I believe it was one of the Rams receivers. It was either Sammy Watkins or Cooper Kupp, who, by the way, I'll point out, maybe they don't have the numbers that Robert Woods does, but they have the better matchups here. Watkins is in excellent position to put up another big gain, like a 40-yard touchdown catch, so I like the price point.
I know we talked about him last week, but John is wondering if 7 days has brought further clarity to Josh Gordon, in your opinion.
I do think we're going to see him. I feel like in the past 7 days, I've gotten this feeling that we are going to see him in a game and a pretty decent chance that we're going to see him make an impact. He absolutely needs to be stashed, I think. But beyond that, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I haven't changed that opinion. But I do think that he is relevant at this stage. I don't think he should be out there on free agent lists.
All right, Tristan, I felt like you for just a moment yesterday, because as I was leaving Kirk Ferentz's news conference in Iowa City, one of the University of Iowa employees came up to me and said, "Hey, way back in week two or week three, I was listening to your show, and you mentioned Alvin Kamara of the Saints would be a guy to own." And so I went and picked him up, and of course, he had that huge game. So I felt momentarily as if I were a fantasy football expert. So I know exactly what it's like to walk in your shoes. We appreciate it, as always, the advice, and best of luck this week.
It's my pleasure. That's a good choice there. Kudos on Kamara.
Yeah, we'll see if he can keep it going forward. I wish I was in a dynasty league, because I own him, and I've got a lot of shares in him. Let's put it that way. 622. Thanks, Tristan. Tristan Cockcroft joining us each week. His appearance sponsored by Imon Communications, helping you with all of your TV, internet, and phone needs here locally. I'm on Communications, the sponsor for all of our fantasy content here on KGYM, including Chris Liss from rotowire.com. He joins Scott and Mark on the Gym Class on Wednesdays, and things will get kicked off again tomorrow. Another compelling Thursday night football matchup in the league. We'll have it for you right here on our FM frequencies, and I am benching Jordy Nelson until further notice. As a matter of fact,
seems like the smart thing to do.
I am also a couple leagues I ran into some defense issues this week. I'm all in on the Bears at Soldier Field against Green Bay. I watch Nick Hundley, and I'm not buying it. I'm not seeing it. So maybe that's a little bit of a reverse psychology there, hoping that Green Bay goes off and tanks my fantasy football team, but Jordy Nelson is on the bench for me. I got some other options and some better matchups at this point. I do own Mike Evans in one league, and that's a big blow this week because that Jets matchup was going to be very favorable for him. But hopefully, you know, you might be able to get a guy in that same game to plug and replace him. He mentioned Robbie Anderson of the Jets, who's available in a ton of ESPN and Yahoo leagues. I just picked him up a couple weeks ago, and Josh McCown quietly flying under the radar as a very, very good quarterback over the last two or three weeks with the Jets, who they're not doing a very good job of tanking, but I think the last mock draft that I saw is still projecting the Jets to have a top 10 pick. I'm only looking at the mock drafts at this point to see if Josh Jackson is making any appearances in them.
He is. Spoiler alert.
I have not seen the Monday morning quarterback one that I looked at yesterday. Did not have him in the first round, but he is starting to creep into some first-round draft mock drafts, and I think very clearly he would not last beyond day two of the draft this year.
Yeah, I don't think he will. And Todd, I'm going to say something that's going to make you feel completely better about the Green Bay Packers. Not necessarily about this season or that they're going to improve, but you were talking about Josh McCown. I came to this realization the other night that Josh McCown had the best stretch of any quarterback that I've seen a Bears quarterback have in my lifetime.
Except he's not with the Bears anymore.
No, not with the Bears anymore. But Josh McCown is the best quarterback for the Bears that I've seen in my lifetime. At least the most consistent when he took over for Jay Cutler a few years back.
They pinned their hopes and dreams on Mitch Trubisky at this point. And he's going to get his taste of the Bears-Packers rivalry at least at home for the first time this weekend. We'll see what happens. I am not overly optimistic that Green Bay can get things turned around at this point without Aaron Rodgers. He wants to come back and play. All of the projections at this point have Green Bay missing the postseason. And if they're not playing for anything, I wrap him in bubble wrap and I send him off on his way. Hey, maybe give your family a call. Spend some holiday time with them since you're estranged from them at this point. But
did you learn that on The Bachelor?
I'm not so ashamed to admit that. But then, look, his brother, I don't know what to think about that, because I think his brother is sort of using that to catapult himself into all of these roles now.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. But if I'm Aaron, look, I can't imagine what it would be like to be that famous and well-known, and I don't know what the backstory is there. Aaron Rodgers is extremely guarded with his personal life. I just know that money has a tendency to change people, but it also has a tendency to change people around the person with money. And so maybe Aaron Rodgers has changed a little bit, and maybe mom and dad and his brother have as well. I don't know, but it's an unfortunate thing. I never like to hear about families that don't get along. I'm really lucky because I grew up in a great family and there's no drama on either side, my mom's side or my dad's side. And everybody gets along. We love spending time together. And we'll see. Every family's different. But you get that amount of money, and it kind of goes back to last night in the 30 for 30 with Ric Flair, because the more money he made, the more money he turned around and spent. And he doesn't have a whole lot of money now because he lived the character that he played, the most successful, wealthy limo riding, jet flying, wheeling, dealing, son of a gun. And in order to portray that lifestyle in real life, he lived his character. He'd go into bars and Byron, there's a great story. Jim Ross, the legendary WWE announcer last night, shared on this 30 for 30 where they went into a bar in whatever city they were in. He said there were about 11 people in the bar, and Flair goes up to the bar and orders, I think it was 137 kamikaze shots. And there's 11 people in the bar, and you can imagine things probably got a little wild and out of hand, and maybe number 8,475 took place that night. I don't know.
So I didn't watch the 30 for 30 that's been established, but I'm just going to guess how this goes.
Not based for the 628 crowd. They don't know that yet.
Based on what you just said, I kept asking myself, I wasn't around when Ric Flair was in his heyday. I didn't know much about Ric Flair. I knew the Woo! Name. I knew the sound. But you're telling me that he doesn't have a whole lot of money now. Is that why he's been making all of these appearances? And is that how he has come back into the spotlight in the past 2 to 3 years? Because I feel like there was this big, long gap between when we heard from him at the end of his career to now. And all of a sudden, I just asked myself, why is Ric Flair cool again? How did that happen?
Well, the Nature Boy has always been cool. But yeah, I think if you buy stuff off his website, sometimes the...
Has he gone Pete Rose on us? Is that what I'm asking?
Is very close to Pete Rose territory at this point, where, he's doing the autograph circuit and he's trying to raise his profile. He's got his own merchandise on his website, and he's got a very good social media presence between Facebook and Twitter, and he's certainly not shy about that. But this guy essentially almost drank himself to death. He admitted that last night. 10 beers a day and about 6 cocktails, he thought. And he also did something else twice a day, which I'm not going to get into on the air, but it was revealed in the documentary last night.
It's not what we're talking about in our poll question?
No, well...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's something else.
You, if the women weren't there and you were by yourself. And I'll leave it at that. But it was an interesting look at a very interesting man. And if you were a fan of professional wrestling and you were thinking that they were going to really get into his career last night, and Dusty Rhodes and Harley Race and Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, which he said last night was probably the best opponent. He had some of the best matches against Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. That really wasn't touched at all. I mean, they mentioned the Four Horsemen. There was just a little bit of Dusty Rhodes. And other than that, it was about his life in the ring as Ric Flair and Ric Flair outside the ring. And it's a fascinating look at a guy who probably never grew up, or when he got to his early 20s, he just decided it was the equivalent of running away to Mexico and starting a new life, except he didn't. He just started a new life as his wrestling character, which really, really seasoned wrestling fans will know. He basically ripped off Buddy Rogers, who was the original Nature Boy.
And I don't know a whole lot about the professional wrestling scene, but what I do know is, and he's been a character on the show in the past, Kuhn's dad used to be a journalist. Did you know this, Todd?
No, I did not.
He worked for the Suburban Journals in St. Louis, and he did a story on professional wrestling. And those guys are on the road 270-something days a year. And their bodies are constantly getting hurt. They're using performance-enhancing drugs. It's just a life that is brutal. And you talk about him kind of evolving into this character. He played that character three-quarters of the year for however long he did it. So I see kind of where the problems start, and that, like, the problems that he went through are not at all unique for professional wrestlers. It's not exactly the best life to live. And yes, there are perks to it, but it's a pretty rough life.
6:32, we will step aside and take a quick break. Kyle's going to join us here for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. But here is a great question, and I wish we had more time because we got the 6 o'clock showdown coming up. But 3443 says, totally off subject, but I just saw the first Christmas lights go up in Fairfax. Isn't November 9th a little early?
Yes.
319-366-1600. How early is too early for Christmas lights? I will give people the benefit of the doubt. I think it's cold out right now. It's not going to get any warmer. I think maybe people are trying to get the lights up before it gets much colder and we have to maybe start thinking about snow. But I would put them up, maybe. I wouldn't be turning them on. You want to get everything set up and ready to go before the snow gets here. Okay, I'll give you the green light on that. But if you're turning them on November 8th, there's a little bit of a problem here, probably. Right? 366-1600. Use the Hertin and Stalker text line to reach out to us. 106.3, 107.5 on the FM side. 1600 AM anywhere, anytime with the KGYM radio app, which you can download in the Google Play or iTunes store. It's absolutely free. We're also streaming online at KGYMradio.com. As we mentioned, another Big Board update on the way after this. Back with more.
Guys, come into JCPenney and get ready for the holiday season. Wednesday through Saturday, select Dockers signature khakis are just $36.99. Or get 50% off select Arizona and St. John's Bay apparel. Plus, get $10 off with coupon when you spend $25 or more on select items throughout the store and at jcp.com. Hurry in. These deals can't be beat. JCPenney. Coupon valid 11-8 to 11-12. Offers represent savings on regular or original prices. While supplies last, some exclusions apply. See store at jcp.com for details.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now, just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp-worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Hi, it's me, that little voice inside your head. You spent all year taking care of business. Let Office Depot Office Max take care of you. There's this new HP Pavilion laptop with 8th generation Intel Core i5 processor. Save $200, now just $449. Look at it. It's only $449 at Office Depot Office Max. Go ahead. You deserve it.
Taking care of business.
Offer ends 11/11. Limit 1.
Yep, I know, it's still warm out, but Doug McAllister and the folks at Pinnacle Realty know time flies. Turns out that if you want to sell your home or buy a home in the Cedar Rapids area and be set by the holidays, you've got to get rolling now. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and holiday creep. That means not letting the holidays creep up on you. Let's just call buying and selling a home by the time the snow flies your early holiday gift to yourself. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com.
Ho, ho, ho.
Have you seen the Johns lately at TCB Pool Hall? No, not the two guys at the bar. I'm talking about the restrooms. No joke, 5 stars. But enough about that. TCB is a pool hall with 10 full-size tables you can rent by the hour, so you can play as long as you want. There are always interesting drink specials. I mean, you've got to have something to sip on between shots, right? Play pool, drink cold beer, use the John at TCB Pool Hall on the Pedball next to Mondo Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
6:36, welcome back in, and time to send it over to Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell was named as one of 10 finalists for the 2017 Senior Class Award today, an honor going to seniors who best exemplify excellence in the community, classroom, character, and competition alike. He was also recently named a semifinalist for the Butkus and Bednarik Awards. Speaking of awards, Chad Lystico tweeted that he spoke with a spokesperson for the Thorpe Award, which goes to the nation's best defensive back, and they told him in regards to Josh Jackson, it's not unprecedented for a player who is not listed as a semifinalist to go on to be named as a finalist. It's National Letter of Intent Day around the country, and the schools around the state have locked in some pretty impressive recruits this year. Muscatine's Joe Wieskamp is the 69th-ranked prospect in his class, according to ESPN, and he signed on the dotted line for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes. UNI secured the 74th-ranked prospect, A.J. Green, easily the biggest commitment for the Panthers since Doug McDermott almost played there, while the Cyclones signed 4 players, including 4-star Talon Horton Tucker, who chose Iowa State over offers from Kansas, Michigan State, and Ohio State. The Iowa women also signed 4 players, including Logan Cook, the daughter of former Iowa tight end Marv Cook, while Iowa State signed a trio, including Iowa City High's 5-star Ashley Jones. Regina was swept by Western Christian today at the state volleyball tournament, which leaves Cedar Falls, Linmar, Xavier, and Dubuque Wallert as the big local schools still remaining. Keep it here after the show for some ESPN programming.
All right, we have a definitive ruling on the text line from 6123. You can hang your Christmas lights now when the weather is decent and the ground is not frozen, but you cannot light them until December 1st. Sounds pretty solid.
People are breaking that rule already.
Sounds pretty solid to me. 319-366-1600. That's the number to call right now. We need callers number 1 and 2 for the 6 o'clock showdown on the line tonight. Some Cedar Rapids Rough Riders tickets. That game is this Saturday. Taking on Madison. It's Military Appreciation Night. And Z102.9 is going to be there serving beer, I believe. All the tips will go to HACAP, and all veterans and active military that show your military ID, you're going to get a free ticket to the game. So we've got a pair of tickets against Saturday's Riders game against the Madison Capitals at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. Callers number 1 and 2 to 366-1600. We're going to play 7 questions in 60 seconds. If you answer more than your competitor, you're going to be off to see the Riders and Madison on Military Appreciation Night this Saturday, Veterans Day, November 11th. We will meet our contestants when we return after this.
It's the Ford year-end sales event.
I can't wait for you to meet my parents.
Yeah, can't wait. Oh, here's a spot.
Can you fit?
Just watch.
I am, and so is my family. Why are you taking your hands off the wheel?
And park.
The Ford Edge, with available enhanced active park assist, makes parallel parking very impressive.
they're gonna love you.
That's Ford, America's best-selling brand, now with exclusive holiday offers. Get 0% APR financing for 72 months, plus 1,000 Ford credit cash on select Fusion, Focus, Escape, Edge, and Explorer models. Hurry, offer expires November 30th, 2017.
Best-selling based on 2016 sales. Driver assist features are supplemental and do not replace driver's attention, judgment, and need to control the vehicle. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for 1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by November 30th, 2017. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details.
If you could get rewarded for sleeping, would you? What about for sitting on a bench, looking out at the ocean? Or for sitting in a comfy chair, watching football on TV? Guess what? That third dream job is real thanks to Buffalo Wild Wings. You can come in, watch football, and earn points with Blazing Rewards just for being there. That's right. You're a professional football fan now. Brag about it to all your friends. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings. Beer. Sports.
Terms and conditions apply. Must be a Blazing Rewards member. To join in for details, visit BlazingRewards.com or download the Blazing Rewards app.
Guys, come into JCPenney and get ready for the holiday season. Wednesday through Saturday, select Dockers signature khakis are just $36.99. Or get 50% off select Arizona and St. John's Bay apparel. Plus, get $10 off with coupon when you spend $25 or more on select items throughout the store and at JCP.com. Hurry in. These deals can't be beat. JCPenney.
Coupon valid 11-8 to 11-12. Offers represent savings on regular or original prices. While supplies last, some exclusions apply. See store at JCP.com for details.
It's coming!
Like all of history's great battles, and that one episode of Seinfeld.
I'm out.
There can only be one winner.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
Let's meet this week's showdown contestants.
All right, in Coralville, and answering my questions tonight, it will be Darren, and right here in Cedar Rapids, Scott is going to answer Alex's questions. Gentlemen, welcome aboard. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing pretty good tonight.
All right, seven questions, 60 seconds, relatively easy. If we are tied at the end, there will be a tiebreaker question, but let's cross our fingers and hope that we can solve this in regulation and we don't become the Northwestern Wildcats. Alex, I again will allow you and Scott to have the first pick here. Do you want to go first or do you want to go last?
What do you think, Scott?
I'd go last.
All right. We'll defer to you and Darren.
Okay, Kai. Darren, whenever you're ready, your 60 seconds will start. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Where did Iowa rank in week two of the college football playoff poll?
23.
Who does the Iowa basketball team play in its season opener on Friday?
Pass.
Which 1-7 NFC East team is said to be looking intently at USC quarterback Sam Darnold?
The New York Giants.
Which NBA player leads the league in points per game early on? Hint, he plays for a team in the Midwest.
The Greek Freak.
Yep. Which Big Ten team has the highest college football playoff ranking this week?
Wisconsin.
Which two college football teams renew their historic rivalry once featured in an ESPN 30 for 30 piece in a top 10 matchup this Saturday?
I should know this. Is it Notre Dame, Miami?
Okay, we'll give that to you. We did not get to the seventh question, but you got four correct, so the bar has been set, Alex.
All right, Scott, are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
All right, if you don't know an answer, just say pass. Your 60 seconds begins right now. This SEC basketball coach's job is reportedly on the line now because he isn't cooperating with his school's investigation into his program.
Oh, bad.
Which wrestler nicknamed the Dragon did Ric Flair say he considered his favorite opponent? According to ESPN's Adam Rittenberg, what school may beat Nebraska to the punch in hiring Scott Frost at season's end?
Oh, shoot, I heard this one earlier. That's bad.
How many Cy Young Awards did the late Roy Halladay win in his career?
Two.
What former Chicago Bears tight end was released by the Packers today?
Marcellus Bennett.
Cal Eldred is this team's new pitching coach.
Kansas City Royals.
What traditional hoops power does you and I play to begin its season on Friday?
North Carolina.
Come from behind victory, 5-4.
There you go. I'll take what I can get.
All right. Hey, Darren, thanks for playing tonight. Scott, congratulations. We're going to put you on hold, and Kyle's going to explain how you can pick your tickets up at Will Call at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena on Saturday night for Military Appreciation Night on Veterans Day. Remember, bring your military ID, and you get a free ticket to the game. I believe there's also some other free perks, which you can check out at Ridertown, USA. Again, the Rough Riders taking on the Madison Capitals. And, yeah, went on a heater there.
Good edition of the 6 o'clock showdown by our contestants.
Iowa ranked number 20 in the college football playoff poll this week. Iowa's men's basketball team opens its schedule against Chicago State on Friday. And we didn't get to question number 7, what country was Lonzo Ball's brother LiAngelo arrested for shoplifting in? One of 3 UCLA players arrested for shoplifting in China.
The first question, we got to it a little bit earlier, but the SEC basketball coach whose job is on the line because he's not cooperating with his school's investigation, Bruce Pearl. Florida was the school that Adam Rittenberg said is in hot pursuit of UCF Scott Frost. And those were the only two that he did not get.
So whoever gets the job at Nebraska when Scott Frost gets hired by Florida is going to have to listen to Bill Moose say he was our number one choice
all along.
And they're going to know that that's not necessarily accurate. But you know what? They're also probably going to be making a ton of money, because Nebraska's not going to go out and hire somebody on the cheap. So I'd be fine. Again, going back to the number one, number two conversation we had earlier today, I think at the start of hour number two, in that case, I would be fine being the number two choice. I would gladly, okay, I don't care if you wanted to hire somebody else and they didn't take the job. I got the job. I got the money. I'm happy. 319-366-1600. The Hertin and Stocker text line, you can use it to reach out to us here. A couple minutes left on the program tonight. Again, a reminder for local programming. Tomorrow is going to be it for this show. On Friday, we were originally going to be on 1600 AM only due to the Iowa City West Bettendorf High School football game at the Unidome. I've had a death in the family, and so I'm not going to be able to be here Friday. Alex is calling the Iowa City West game. So we just decided that in everybody's best interest, we're going to put the high school game on all 3 of our frequencies. And so Friday's local programming is just going to be the gym class from 3 until 4. So tomorrow, we're going to treat tomorrow as if it were a Friday, at least on this program. And we'll spend a lot of time taking a look at Iowa and Wisconsin this weekend. The Big Hour brought to you by our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. The 6 o'clock hour featuring Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. Our special guest this week will be former Iowa wide receiver Kevin Casper. Cyclone fans, will have you covered tomorrow as well. Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com will have his weekly chat with us as Iowa State and Oklahoma State gear up for what's being billed essentially as a title elimination game at Jack Trice Stadium. It's also the final home game of the year for the Cyclones. Spoiler alert, the picks have been sent in Saturday morning in the Cedar Rapids Gazette. I am picking both Iowa and Iowa State to win their games, which means I have just given both of those programs the kiss of death this weekend.
Iowa State not a double-digit dog.
They're a 6.5-point underdog at home to Oklahoma State. I was going to pick one to win and one to lose, and I won't tell you which one. And then I thought, I don't want to deal with the backlash from that. And it's fun, but it's not fun, because someone out there will always take it too seriously. And just like the guy the other day that said I was a quote-unquote fake Iowa fan because I picked Ohio State to win the game, which has nothing to do with the fact that I'm not even technically really a fan. I was when I was younger, and then you get into this business, and my old broadcast partner Brent Balbinot used to have a saying that he was fond of using. He had a number of sayings that he was fond of using, but one of them involved working in the sausage factory and seeing how the hot dogs are made. And you you're on this side of the microphone and this side of the press box for as long as I've been. You just kind of remove yourself and you distance yourself from your fandom. I did go to school at Iowa. It has nothing to do with how I approach this job, though. But so for the interest of, I think I'm just going to pick Iowa and Iowa State to win for the remaining 3 weeks of the season, just to keep everybody happy and to be a massive homer. Just, I'm being a homer.
Do people really get that upset?
Rarely.
On picks?
Rarely, but I do hear from people.
Well, you have to pick one team.
Some of it's good-natured. And look, I could have picked Iowa to beat Ohio State last week, and given the history of the series, where Iowa had only won 14 times in 65 meetings, look, I'm going to play the odds on that one. Plus, I honestly, legitimately did not see that coming, and I think 99.8% of people outside of the football complex in Iowa City should say the same thing about that contest. But how boring is it to go through life where you just you pick whatever team, Iowa State or Iowa, to win every single game just because you run the risk of offending somebody's delicate sensibility. Now, if I think they're going to lose, I pick them to lose. But I am saying for the final 3 weeks, I think I'll just pick Iowa and Iowa State to win so that everybody gets riled up about it.
It's so boring. No offense, but dang.
Well, that's the other
that's
show.
Rough.
We don't want to offend anybody. That's the other show. 6:51, welcome back in. We're going to take a quick break, and
can't
Kyle's going to have...
the team you want anymore. Does it offend somebody?
I know. The third game, by the way, in Saturday's Gazette will be Notre Dame-Miami, which my interest is piqued in this one because this is kind of do or die for Miami. A lot of people, Cajun Troy on the text line, and a lot of people think Notre Dame is going to go on the road to Coral Gables and win that contest. I am picking the Irish to win this week. This is sort of an early arrival for Mark Richt and the Hurricanes. I don't think he thought they were going to be this good this early, but they've been playing very well. Unfortunately, I think their streak comes to a little bit of an end this week at the hands of the Irish, and I hate picking Notre Dame. Believe me, that one I'll cop to. I don't like picking Notre Dame, especially on the road, but they are the favorite. Miami's getting 3 points at home, and I look at that and I go, that's just begging people to bet on Miami in Las Vegas because it's a top 10 team and they're getting points at home. Buy it all day long, right? Yeah, I think Vegas probably thinks Notre Dame is going to wind up winning that one. But what do I know? I'm in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and not Las Vegas. 6:52, the final big board update of the day is on the way after this. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn right here on 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. Streaming online at kgymradio.com and through the KGYM app for your Google Play or iTunes Store phone. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, as I just mentioned, and it is back after this.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
Own your man motions this season. Scream at a fumble, get misty at the Hail Mary pass, or ugly cry when your draft team tanks. Which won't judge? They'll just show up with box lunches, mini sandwiches, pasta salads, wraps, trays of sweets, whatever you order, and bring it right to your football watch party or tailgate. Which Superior Sandwiches, catering to the emotional football fans up and down the corridor. Place your catering order for the next home game now at whichwich.com.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Unlike many of you, I will not be the new mayor of Cedar Rapids. I wasn't on the ballot last night, but a lot of people were, and there's going to be a runoff election December 5th. So if you didn't get enough of all the yard signs and door knocking and all of that good stuff, a runoff for mayor and one of the city council seats coming up December 5th. Exciting times, right?
Of course.
Would you want to be mayor of Cedar Rapids? Yes or no? Thumbs up.
Me?
Alex
Kuhn. I wouldn't
want
to be mayor of anywhere.
Alex
I can't run
Kuhn,
anything.
Political career.
Absolutely
You're
not.
You're saying no? I think you'd be a pretty popular candidate.
I don't think so. I really don't think I would.
No?
No. By the way, did we ever get that Ron Corbett situation?
A chicken in every neti pot. That could be your slogan. I don't want to talk about the KGYM Radio Day. 6:55. Let's get out of here on this. Our final Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell was named as one of 10 finalists for the 2017 Senior Class Award today, an honor going to seniors who best exemplify excellence in community, classroom, character, and competition alike. He was also recently named a semifinalist for the Butkus and Bednarik Awards. Speaking of awards, Chad Listico tweeted that he spoke with a spokesperson for the Thorpe Award, which goes to the nation's best defensive back, and they told him in regards to Josh Jackson, it's not unprecedented for a player who was not listed as a semifinalist to go on to be named as a finalist. It's National Letter of Intent Day around the country, and the schools around the state have locked in some pretty impressive recruits this year. Muscatine's Joe Wieskamp is the 69th-ranked prospect in his class, according to ESPN, and he signed on the dotted line for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes. UNI secured the 74th-ranked prospect, A.J. Green, easily the biggest commitment for the Panthers since Doug McDermott almost played in Cedar Falls, while the Cyclones signed four players, including four-star Talon Horton Tucker, who chose Iowa State over offers from Kansas, Michigan State, and Ohio State. The Iowa women also signed four players, including Logan Cook, the daughter of former Iowa tight end Marv Cook, while Iowa State signed a trio, including Iowa City High's five-star Ashley Jones. Regina was swept by Western Christian today at the state volleyball tournament, which leaves Cedar Falls, Linmar, Xavier, and Dubuque Wallert as the big local schools still remaining. Keep it here after the show for some ESPN programming.
Now, Todd, did I see on Twitter that we have a new segment, new weekly segment?
Possibly.
Winning by 93% of the vote. People think that we should have, what is it, story time with Mike Leach?
Story hour with Mike Leach, which is, it's not always going to be Mike Leach, but I am going to create a new segment here on the show where we do dip into some more audio. And you will probably hear the Washington State coach quite often during that segment. But yes, 94% of the people who voted on my Twitter poll said thumbs up to hearing from Mike Leach. We don't have him on the program tomorrow, but we do have Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com, and then Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be with me in the 6 o'clock hour. And Alex, I got to get used to that tomorrow as Kevin Casper stops by to talk about his Hawkeye football career. We'll talk to you then.